Imagine you spend like millions of dollars on this state-of-the-art titanium bank vault, right? Complete with laser grids, biometric scanners, the whole nine yards. Only for the bank manager to just willingly hand over the master code.
Because he got a frantic phone call.
Exactly. A phone call that sounded exactly like his crying daughter.
Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today we are pulling from the April 15th, 2026 edition of Techin Morning, and we're looking at how that exact bank vault scenario is fundamentally breaking the global tech economy.
It really is. We are tracking a massive, highly interconnected shift in the industry today.
Yeah, we're looking at how this explosion of artificial intelligence is basically rewriting the rules of everything from the ground up. I mean, it's changing how hackers target you, how defenders are frantically scrambling to fight back, and
And how all of this is directly causing the skyrocketing cost of your next laptop.
yes, right down to the actual physical chemistry of the battery inside your smartphone. I mean, it's a really profound structural shift. The AI models that started out as, clever chatbots a few years ago have evolved into this ecosystem-wide pressure test.
Right.
Every single layer of technology, software, hardware, network security, it's all being forced to adapt at the exact same time.
Okay, let's unpack this, because to understand the hardware crisis, we first have to look at the invisible war happening in the software world. So if the human is the new vulnerability, where are we seeing this tested first?
Well, hackers usually go where the money is the least regulated, right?
Right. Which brings us to Web3 and the crypto sector. So looking at the source here, in just the first quarter of 2026, Web3 projects lost about $482 million.
Across 44 different incidents.
Yeah. Now, on paper, overall dollar losses are actually down like 76.6% compared to 2025.
Right, but that's mostly just because we haven't had a massive, billion-dollar exchange collapse recently.
Exactly. But the total dollar amount isn't really what caught my attention. It's the method.
What's fascinating here is the tactical pivot, the real story. Out of that $482 million, nearly two-thirds of it, over $300 million, was lost purely to phishing and social engineering.
Wow, two-thirds.
Yeah. We have this really outdated mental image of a hacker, furiously typing green code on a black screen in a basement.
We're out looking for a backdoor of the blockchain.
Exactly. But finding a hidden flaw in complex cryptography, what the industry calls a zero-day vulnerability, it takes weeks, sometimes months of intense, highly specialized labor.
It's incredibly tedious. And if you're a cyber criminal, I mean, you're treating this like a business. ROI is everything.
Right.
Why spend all month trying to pick this incredibly complex digital deadbolt when you can literally just trick the person holding the key into opening the door for you?
And AI has made tricking that person terrifyingly cheap and scalable. Attackers, they aren't sending out millions of poorly spelled emails anymore, hoping, maybe one person clicks.
The classic Nigerian prince scam.
Exactly. Those days are over. They are using AI agents to actively scrape the internet. The AI reads your LinkedIn profile. It maps out your company's organizational chart from public websites. It looks at your recent tweets, and then it feeds all that context into a large language model.
So it creates a highly personalized, context-aware attack. But
Exactly.
they might send an email that mentions, like, the specific conference you just attended last week in Chicago, or they reference a project your exact department is currently working on.
Yeah, but it goes far beyond email now. AI-generated phishing attacks, they've tripled since last year. They make up 42% of all cyber attacks today.
Wait, 42%? That's almost half.
Yep. And the tools have evolved. We're talking real-time deepfake video calls that look exactly like your boss.
Oh, man.
Or fake WhatsApp voice memos that sound completely indistinguishable from your colleagues asking for, urgent database access. It creates this false sense of familiarity and urgency.
Which are the exact two levers you pull to bypass human critical thinking. It fundamentally breaks our trust in our own senses. I mean, if you can't trust a live video call from your manager, how do you even operate securely? You can't just tell your employees, hey, be more careful when the fake is mathematically perfect.
You can't. You actually have to engineer the human element entirely out of the verification loop.
So what does that look like for the listener?
Well, if you are still relying on a text message for your two-factor authentication, you are highly vulnerable right now.
Because of SIM swapping, right?
Exactly. Text messages rely on SMS, and an attacker can use these exact same social engineering tactics to call your phone provider, pretend to be you, and have your phone number transferred to their device.
And boom, they get all your login codes.
Yeah, you really need to migrate to a physical hardware key, like a YubiKey, something that requires a literal physical touch to grant access.
Right. But what about just day-to-day communications? If I get an urgent Slack message from my boss saying, hey, wire these funds to a new vendor right now, and it sounds completely legitimate, what is the protocol?
You verify it out of band.
Out of band. Okay.
Yeah, meaning you break the chain of communication that the attacker may be controlling. If they message you on Slack, you don't reply on Slack. You physically call their trusted cell phone number.
Got it.
If they email you a link to a portal, you don't click it. You manually type the known company URL into your browser.
Which makes total sense on an individual level.
Mm.
But this raises a huge systemic problem.
Oh, absolutely.
If AI is automating the offensive side, pumping out thousands of these highly targeted, psychologically manipulative attacks every minute, traditional security teams can't possibly keep up just by manually reviewing logs or writing antivirus rules.
They can't. And that realization has officially launched us into an era of AI versus AI cyber warfare.
But good guys have to use AI too.
Right. The only way to defend against automated intelligent attacks is to deploy automated intelligent defenses. So, for example, earlier this month, Anthropic released an AI model called Claude Mythos. It was trained specifically to understand code logic so deeply that it can find hidden vulnerabilities before human reviewers ever even spot them.
Wow.
It is so potent, actually, that Anthropic restricted access to just 40 highly vetted organizations.
And today, OpenAI fired back with a major launch of their own.
Yeah.
GPT-5.4 Cyber.
Yes.
This is a model designed explicitly for defensive cybersecurity. The source material notes it can analyze malware, reverse engineer binaries, and hunt for those zero-day vulnerabilities we were just talking about.
The reverse engineering capability is particularly notable here.
Really? Why is that?
Well, usually when a company releases software, they compile the human-readable code into a binary, a format that really only the machine understands.
Right.
GPT 5.4 Cyber can take that finished, compiled software, completely pulled apart, and essentially read the raw logic to find microscopic cracks in the foundation.
That's wild. And OpenAI is opening this up to thousands of security professionals, right? Through a trusted access program.
They are.
Okay, let me play devil's advocate here for a second, though.
Yeah.
If a model like GPT 5.4 Cyber is that incredibly good at finding hidden cracks in a system, the label defensive AI feels a bit like, well, marketing spin.
How so?
I mean, a tool that finds a flaw so a developer can patch it is the exact same tool a bad actor would use to find a flaw to exploit it. The AI doesn't know whose side it's on. It just finds the open window.
Yeah, that tension is exactly what is keeping cybersecurity professionals awake at night.
I bet.
The line between a shield and a sword in this context is defined entirely by the user's intent. Historically, the software industry relied really heavily on security by obscurity.
Meaning?
The idea that if a piece of code is, you know, millions of lines long, a hacker probably just won't notice the one tiny error buried on line 400,000.
Ah, right. But an AI model that doesn't need to sleep can read those millions of lines in a few seconds. Obscurity is dead.
Completely dead. And we are seeing the fallout of this massive vulnerability hunting phase right now.
The Patch Tuesday news.
Exactly. Look at Microsoft's latest Patch Tuesday. It was the second largest in the company's entire history.
Yeah, they had to issue patches for over 160 different bugs in a single day.
165 to be exact.
And reading through the breakdown, I mean, these aren't minor graphic glitches. Almost 100 of them were privilege escalations.
Right.
For anyone unfamiliar, that's basically a bug that lets a hacker log into a system as a low-level guest user, but then trick the operating system into handing over the master administrative keys.
It gives them total control of the machine.
Exactly. They also patched 80 bugs in the underlying code of their Edge browser. But the most alarming item on the list is an active zero-day vulnerability in SharePoint.
CVE-2026-3201.
That's the one. And active means it isn't just a theoretical flaw a researcher found in the lab, right?
No, hackers are currently exploiting it in the wild right now to compromise corporate networks.
So why is Windows suddenly springing so many leaks? Is their code just getting worse, or are the AI hunters just that good?
It's a combination of the hunters getting way better and the attack surface getting massively larger.
Ah, because of all the new features.
Yeah, Windows 11 has integrated an enormous amount of complex AI-driven features deeply into the operating system. Every new feature, every new line of code is a potential new door for an attacker to try and open.
Right. And the tech giants are in an absolute arms race. I mean, Google is launching a new Windows app with an AI mode and visual search lens, which is just further crowding the software environment.
Exactly. When you have highly complex software meeting tireless AI vulnerability hunters, the patch cycles just have to become lightning fast.
So the takeaway here for you listening is simple but urgent.
Yeah.
Run your system updates today.
Absolutely.
Don't click remind me tomorrow. If you're on a Windows machine, update it right now. Make sure your Edge browser is current. And if your company uses SharePoint, double check with your IT department that they've applied the latest patches.
Because attackers are actively looking for networks that haven't updated yet. The software battlefield is just moving much faster than human administrators can manage manually.
Which brings us to a fascinating physical constraint. Because all of these AI models, the ones scraping LinkedIn to write phishing emails, the ones pulling apart compiled malware, generating deepfakes on the fly, they don't exist in the ether.
No, they don't.
They require immense, staggering amounts of computational power. They run on massive server farms. And the sheer physical hunger of this AI boom is actively draining the global hardware supply chain.
It really is.
And that is about to hit the average consumer right in the wallet.
Yeah, the software demands are putting a massive physical squeeze on the hardware market. A perfect example of this in the news today is the Microsoft Surface laptop lineup.
This was wild to read.
Microsoft just quietly executed a $500 price hike across the board.
$500?
Yep. The Surface Pro 11 and the Surface Laptop 7, which started at around $1,000 just a couple of years ago, now have a base price of $1,499.
That is a 50% markup on the entry-level models.
Uh-huh.
There isn't a single Surface device available for under $1,000 anymore.
And
the immediate reaction is usually to just blame corporate greed. But the breakdown in Techin Morning shows this is actually tied to a severe global shortage of memory components.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, we are in the grip of a global DDR5 RAM crisis.
Okay, explain that. Why RAM specifically?
Well, to understand why, you have to look at how large language models function. An AI model like GPT-4 or Claude, it isn't just processing data. It has to hold billions and billions of parameters in active memory simultaneously just to generate a response.
It needs a massive short-term memory workspace.
Exactly. That requires vast arrays of high-speed RAM in the data center. Companies like OpenAI, Google, and Meta are buying up virtually every available high-performance memory chip off the global assembly lines to feed their cloud servers.
Okay, here's where it gets really interesting. It's like a group of tech billionaires swooping into a small town and buying up every single brick, every board of lumber, every bag of concrete to build a massive neighborhood of mega mansions.
Right.
And then a regular person walks into the local hardware store just trying to buy materials to build a basic garden shed, and store owner says, sorry, a bag of concrete is now $1,000. The big players have consumed all the raw materials.
That analogy perfectly captures the demand side of the equation, but the crazy part is the supply side is actually being manipulated as well.
Wait, really?
Yeah. The major memory manufacturers, primarily Samsung and SK Hynix, intentionally cut their DRAM production by 40%.
Now, wait a minute. If demand is through the roof because of all these AI data centers, Economics 101 says you ramp up production to sell more chips.
Mm-hmm.
I would assume they cut production because they physically couldn't source the materials to make them.
You would think so, but no. It was a calculated move to create artificial scarcity.
You are kidding.
Nope. During the early days of the AI boom, memory prices were relatively low, and these manufacturers wanted higher profit margins. By slashing production output by 40%, right as the AI server demand skyrocketed, they engineered a massive supply bottleneck. The result, the wholesale price of DDR5 memory chips spiked 150% in just 6 months.
So Microsoft, and eventually every other consumer laptop manufacturer, is just passing that inflated component cost down to you, the person buying a laptop for college or work.
Precisely. The massive data centers, they have the capital to absorb those 150% markups. The average consumer does not.
So if someone is listening to this right now and their laptop fan sounds like a jet engine, the battery lasts maybe 20 minutes, and they were planning to buy a new computer this weekend, what is the play here? Do they just bite the bullet?
The market projection strongly suggests holding off.
Really?
Yes. Do not buy a new current generation premium laptop right now unless it is an absolute emergency. Industry analysts predict that this artificial scarcity will break and RAM supply will start to stabilize around the third quarter of 2026.
So just weather the storm for a few more months?
Yes. But if you have to buy something immediately, the secondary market is your best bet.
Refurbished stuff.
Exactly. Look at refurbished models from 2024 or 2025. Those were built using the older, cheaper memory pricing structures.
That makes sense.
Alternatively, look at modular laptop brands like Framework or System 76. Because of their specific business models, they haven't been forced to hike their base entry prices quite as drastically as the massive legacy brands yet.
Okay, so the cloud's insatiable hunger for memory is making our laptops painfully expensive. But the physical impact of this AI era doesn't stop at laptops.
Far from it.
It is fundamentally altering the most ubiquitous device on the planet, the smartphone. For the last, what, 15 years, mobile engineering has been an absolute race to the bottom for thickness.
Oh, yeah. Thinness was everything.
Right, it was all about making the phone paper thin, even if it meant sacrificing battery life.
Yeah.
But now we're asking these devices to do incredibly heavy lifting, running local AI models,
Yeah.
maintaining constant 5G connections, processing complex algorithms locally.
A paper-thin phone in 2026 basically dies before lunch.
Exactly. The power draw has completely outpaced traditional battery chemistry, which makes the launch of the new Vivo T5 Pro 5G in India so significant.
Yeah, this is a game changer. It's priced aggressively around $360, but the headline feature is the battery. It houses a 9,020 milliamp hour power cell.
That is massive. Just for context, if you go out and buy a top-tier flagship phone today, you're typically getting a battery around 5,000 milliamp hours.
Right.
So Vivo has nearly doubled the standard capacity. Now, normally, if you double the capacity of a battery, you have to basically double the physical size of it. I would expect this phone to look like a literal brick.
Sure, like strapping a power bank to your phone.
Right. But the T5 Pro is only 8.25 millimeters thick.
Which is actually thinner than many of the 5,000 milliamp hour devices currently on the market.
See, it sounds like a marketing gimmick. If the capacity doubles but the physical volume stays the same, how does that even work? You can't just cram more energy into the exact same physical space without changing the fundamental materials.
You're right to be analytical about it, but they did change the materials. This is a major breakthrough in commercial battery chemistry.
Okay, tell me more.
For decades, smartphone batteries have relied on graphite anodes. The Vivo T5 Pro achieved this new density by moving to a silicon carbon anode.
Okay, let's break down the chemistry there. Why is replacing graphite with silicon and carbon such a big deal?
Think of the battery's anode like a sponge that soaks up water. In
Yeah.
this case, the water is lithium ions.
Okay, got the sponge visual.
Graphite is like a very stiff, rigid sponge. It works reliably, it doesn't break, but it takes up a lot of physical space relative to the amount of water it can actually hold.
Okay.
Silicon, on an atomic level, is a super sponge. It can hold significantly more lithium ions in a much smaller physical footprint. That instantly increases the energy density of the battery by over 20%.
Wait, if silicon is this incredible super sponge, why hasn't the industry been using it this whole time?
Because of how silicon reacts when it fills up. When silicon absorbs all those lithium ions, it physically expands, sometimes swelling up to 300% of its original size.
Oh, wow. In a tightly sealed smartphone, that expansion would literally crack the battery open or shatter the screen from the inside out.
Exactly. It was too volatile.
Ah, so that's where the carbon comes in.
Exactly. By blending the silicon with carbon, they've essentially wrapped this volatile super sponge in a highly flexible conductive mesh netting.
Oh, that's clever.
It is. The carbon stabilizes the silicon, allowing it to expand and contract safely within the cell without degrading or bursting over thousands of charge cycles.
That is brilliant engineering.
It really is.
Yeah.
And they paired that new chemistry with a stacked cell design. Instead of rolling the internal battery layers like a jelly roll,
Which leaves empty space in the corners of the phone.
right, they stack the layers perfectly flat, filling every single millimeter of the chassis. And to manage the heat from all that dense energy, they use an advanced vapor chamber.
So it's liquid cooling.
Basically, it's a cooling system that cycles a tiny amount of liquid into vapor and back again to constantly move heat away from the processor. Plus, the system supports 90-watt fast charging, meaning that massive 9,000 milliamp hour battery goes from 0 to 100% in under 90 minutes.
That is incredible. And reading the industry projections and source material, this isn't just a quirky one-off device for a specific market, is it?
Not at all. This is the new baseline.
Wow.
The era of the ultra-thin, low-capacity smartphone is permanently over. Consumers are demanding local processing power to run AI without lag, and that requires raw electricity. The analysts project that by 2027, 10,000 milliamp hour batteries utilizing this exact silicon carbon technology will be the standard across the entire industry.
So everybody is going to have to do this.
Every major manufacturer will have to adapt to this chemistry just to keep their devices powered through a single day of modern usage.
So what does this all mean? Let's step back and look at the whole board we've mapped out today. It's a wild, highly interconnected picture.
It really is.
We have hackers completely abandoning complex code breaking because AI makes it so much cheaper and easier to just trick the human being holding the keys.
Right.
We have AI models acting as autonomous cyber soldiers, analyzing millions of lines of code and fighting an invisible high-speed war over vulnerabilities. It's turning routine software updates into critical battlegrounds.
Every single patch Tuesday.
Exactly. We have the physical cost of building massive cloud AI servers, hoarding the world's memory supply, creating this artificial scarcity that makes buying a simple laptop painfully expensive.
Yep.
And down at the mobile level, the sheer power drain of our new AI-driven reality is literally forcing the invention of entirely new battery chemistries just to keep the lights on.
This raises an important question, though. The through line here is that technology is no longer a passive tool. It used to be something you picked up, used, and put down. But with AI autonomously hunting for software vulnerabilities, you know, generating personalized phishing attacks in real time, dictating the economics of global hardware supply chains, the technological landscape is now an active, autonomous environment.
It's moving on its own.
Yeah. Adapting to it, whether that means changing how we verify a simple text message, how we patch our systems, or even how we buy our hardware, is literally the only path forward.
And that leaves me with one final lingering thought for you to chew on today. If our local smartphones are transforming into these massive heavy-duty energy reserves just to keep up, while all the actual heavy-lifting computing power migrates to giant cloud servers that are hoarding all the RAM,
yeah.
Are we heading toward a future where our personal devices aren't really computing anything at all? Are our expensive so-called smartphones just going to become glowing battery packs, mere glass portals serving as windows to cloud-based AI overlords?
That's a scary thought.
In 5 years, will the processor inside your phone even matter? Or will you just be shopping for the biggest battery and the brightest screen? Something to think about the next time you pick up your device. Thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive. Stay curious, stay secure, and we'll catch you next time.